Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. What a powerful moment that was. You know, when we have moments in which we have high expectations and those high expectations are not met, it's really disappointing. It's hard. Have you realized there's a big event coming here, right to our area? August 21st. Does anyone know what's going to come right here? You better know. Hopefully you've read the newspapers. Well, let's just cover some of the details. Big event, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, the solar eclipse, a full solar eclipse that will stretch across from the western coast of the United States all the way to the east coast. The last time this happened was, I think what I read was 1918. It's a long time ago. This is the only chance we're going to have this solar eclipse. And it's stretching across a band, a 67-mile band from north to south. And guess who's located right in the middle of that band? We are. Wow, exactly. We're special. So don't reserve any hotels for friends and don't plan family events in this area. It was reported back in November that all the hotels are booked. In fact, the campground sites are booked as well. I think all of them in the area. And there are big plans right here in our city. Our city office manager has planned how the traffic will work and where people are staying right here in Philomath. Big event. And for just a few brief moments, there's going to be darkness all around us. Scientists say that it will last. Does anyone know how long that darkness is going to last? A minute and 54 seconds. Big event. You don't want to blink. Big expectations. People traveling from all throughout the United States. Now, this morning I checked the weather for August 21st. It says that clouds are coming our way. No, I'm joking. I didn't. They don't give predictions for August 21st, and you wouldn't believe them if they did, anyways. But what I wanted to set you up with this morning is, wow, big expectations for a big event, and then, boy, it doesn't feel so good if it were a bunch of clouds August 21st right here. Well, this morning, I think you might have seen it here in our dramatization, but these two disciples had big expectations for Jesus and who their master was, and they were dashed. Things didn't go to plan. And they were a little upset as they were making their way to this little village called Emmaus. Emmaus, remember we talked right before Holy Week, Jesus entered the western gate to go into Jerusalem. These two disciples leave the western gate and go about 7 or 8 miles to this little town called Emmaus. It was about a 2.5-hour journey. You went right before sunset to make sure you got to your home is kind of the rhythm and pattern. It was enough time for them to debrief about the climatic events that had just happened in Jerusalem. We think it's maybe 2 or 3 days after these events. And actually the tragedy of Jesus dying. It was a tragedy. And you can imagine this stranger who showed up. They didn't recognize Jesus at first. He's kind of an odd man who joined him on the journey. And imagine the statement that they make. It's found in verse 20. The disciples say this directly to Jesus. We were hoping that he would redeem all of Israel. Wow. Disappointment. Expectations not met. These two disciples thought that Jesus was coming to kick the Romans out, Pontius Pilate and all those soldiers that we talked about on Palm Sunday, out of the city. And these two guys were thinking that Jerusalem would have a change of culture and scenery and atmosphere, and perhaps, they could have a really good position with Jesus in charge. But you see, on Good Friday, Jesus died. It crashed their greatest dreams and their greatest hopes. They're in despair. Gives us an opportunity this morning to open up a question that's deep in the hearts of many people, and that is this. What happens when God does not meet our expectations? It's an honest question, and it happens in real life right in front of us. What happens, for example, when we open up the paper and read about tragedies that happen and things that are unjust? It can lead one to wonder, well, is God in charge? This doesn't really meet my expectations for what God would do. Many people have left the faith and the church because of that. Some people, when dreams are lost and goals that they've strived for are pulled out from underneath them in an unjust manner, it makes them wonder, does God have good intentions for my life? Many have left the faith because of that. Some have personal tragedy that just sets them off in a whole new direction in life. And at that moment, it too can raise the question, what is God exactly doing? I had high expectations for how God would work in my life. Many, many people, because of that question, have left the faith. God didn't meet my expectations. Maybe you know someone. First thing that I want to share with you this morning is that it's okay to ask that question and to have those feelings that God didn't meet my expectations, because if you feel that way, join everyone in the Bible. They also felt that way. Think about Elijah. I think when I was thinking about this question, Elijah was cast out into the desert by King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. It was an unjust action. And you know what Elijah said in that moment? God, am I the only one? Elijah said. And behind that question, what Elijah was saying was, God, I had higher expectations. I thought there'd be more people here just besides myself. When Moses, in the book of Exodus, Moses whines about the people of Israel. It's funny when Moses does this. Moses never calls them my people. He says, God, they're your people. He doesn't want to have anything to do with these people. And Moses, when he says that, is essentially saying, God, I had higher expectations for the people that you were going to give me. Martin Luther, when he went to Rome and visited the Pope and leaders in the Catholic Church, his expectations were dashed. God, I thought your church was better than this. So many people have left the church, left religion altogether, left Christianity because God has not met their expectations. So what is the difference? Why do some people stay in and stick to it? And why do other people fade away when that question is raised? Every person has it. God, you've not met my expectations. I want to suggest something here this morning. Save this. This is good for another generation and younger ones. The difference is this. It's a spirit of being a spirit of being taught, being open to being taught by someone. That's the difference. Lord, will you open my eyes so that I can learn new things? That kind of question. Being taught, maybe something like this. Lord, let me hear and hear again your promises for me. Or maybe even a question like this. Lord, the expectations that I have, Lord, teach me how they might have been damaging or perhaps very unrealistic of you. A spirit of teaching. Now, the thing that inspires me, as I read this passage, Luke 24, I haven't looked at it for a couple of years. The thing that inspired me as I studied it this week was that spirit of being open to being taught was in the lives of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Yes, they were in despair. The Jesus, the master that they had, who they thought was going to kick the Romans out of town, that Jesus was dead, and their hopes were dashed. In verse 17, in describing their faces, the Greek actually gives a better translation than what's here in the English. It says that they had sad faces. See, these guys are depressed. They're despondent. They're in despair. And in that moment, the stranger appears. You know what he does? He teaches for 2.5 hours. If we're ever tired of a Bible study that goes 40 minutes, oh my goodness. 2.5 hours, this stranger opens up the Bible and says things like this. You know the prophet Elijah? He was the prophet par excellence. The master, he's better than Elijah. And then the stranger opened up and taught about how it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and die. This was an intense Bible study, is what this is. And what we know about this episode is that these faces that were sad and depressed on their journey and walk, in 7 miles, their hearts were burning with passion. They wanted to know more. They wanted to be taught. And then Jesus, of course, broke the bread. That's how this text is oftentimes handled. Most people talk about the breaking of bread, which is, of course, very important, and communion comes right to our minds. But isn't the amazing thing that these disciples were open to being taught? That opened them up to seeing things in a whole new way. Dear friends, are we open to being taught? It's a personal question. Are we open to seeing things in a new way? I don't think it comes naturally. It's tough. It's tough to have an open heart to be taught new things. I remember golfing for the first few times that I golfed. It shows, it can teach how this works, I think, from what I remember, how it went. The first few times that I went golfing, I had really high expectations. I don't know if you ever watched the Golf Channel, but if you watch the Golf Channel, it'll set your sights really high for golf. The ball goes perfectly straight and goes for about 300 yards, and the sun is out. It's absolutely beautiful, and the people are having fun. So that's your expectation when you go golfing. That's the way it's going to be. Expectations are never met in golf. If you're a golfer, you know how this works. The first few times that I went, ball went off to the right, trousers got dirty, shoes were dirty, it was not fun. I got a violation because I took so long and had to chase my ball wherever it went. And my reaction was this: never in 1,000 years did I want to be taught how to golf. I wanted to quit at that moment. Someone bought me golf lessons, and begrudgingly I went. And those golf lessons opened me up to a whole new way of seeing things, a whole new set of expectations for the game of golf. And now I kind of, it's relatively okay. Dear friends, isn't that the way how our faith works? We do a really dangerous thing. When God doesn't meet our expectations and we walk away quickly, that's the problem with many people. When blocked dreams happen, when tragedy happens, many walk away. But the best thing that we can do in that moment when God, when we're frustrated, He doesn't meet our expectations, the best thing that we can do is open our heart to be taught, to see things in a whole new way. You know, when that happens, amazing things take place. And for those disciples, the greatest news of all of this actually today is that Jesus sticks with us. We need to have open hearts, but the amazing thing is that Jesus sticks with us. For these two disciples, we don't even know really who they were and what they, the names aren't even known in history. Jesus walked 2.5 hours with them, stayed the evening with them. So also in the same way, Jesus stays by our side. And as we're taught, as we learn from the Master, there does come a point in time when we realize that all our expectations of God are met, and through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God is able to do way more than our expectations could ever be. That's how good God is to us. So today, pray about that this afternoon. How can I be open to being taught in those moments that I question if God can meet my expectations so that we can be the people God wants us to be? Let's think about that, but then let's sing a special song right now. Open My Eyes. Colleen and Bryson are going to lead us in the singing of that special song. It's really a teaching song. How can I be taught, Jesus?